Talking about the Rav's insights into Smichus Gula Tfila. And the last point that we discussed, which was a good couple of weeks ago, was about the concept of a matir. The Rav said that who is man to come in to pray in front of Almighty God? He needs permission to do so. And certainly in the case of a Tfilas Nedava, if you will, where it's an optional tefillah, there's no obligation at all. So in that case, you need to be mechadish badavar, which means you have to add something of your own personal petition. And that changes the Shmon Esrei. That's the matir. But then, the Gemara has a sugya in Brachos, on Daf Chav Ches Amid Beis, in which Rab and Rav Yosef are of the opinion that even in a Tfilas Chova, a classical Shmon Esrei, Yud Ches Brachos, of Tfilas Shachris, or Mincha, Mayriv, requires a Chiddush Badavar. You have to add something to the Shmon Esrei. You can't just repeat the standard Shmon Esrei. And the Rav therefore assumes that even a Tfilas Chova needs a Matir. And the Matir is that you add your own personal petition. The fact that you have a Tzorech, you have a certain need, that gives you license to come and pray in front of the Almighty God. The Rav says we don't paskin like Rav and Rav Yosef. We don't require Chiddush Badavar, except in a Tfilas Nedava, but not in a Tfilas Chova. But yet, conceptually, even those who reject Rav and Rav Yosef agrees that we need a matir even in a Tfilas Chova. So if you'll open up to page Mem Vav, which is the last thing that we touched upon, the Rav asks the question, what is the matir for Tfilah in the case of a Tfilas Chova? Again, according to Rav and Rav Yosef, it's Chiddush Badavar, but we don't accept Rav and Rav Yosef. So the Rav quotes a Sugya in Brachos Daf Lamed Amid Beis, and ostensibly on the surface of it, the Gemara is talking about what mindset a person has to be in order to be worthy of prayer, of tefillah. So for example, Ein Omdim Lispalel, Lo Mitoch Atzlus, Lo Mitoch Atzvus, you know, to be depressed, Chas V'Shalom, that's not the proper attitude for tefillah. You have to be in a state of simcha when you daven. And we think that the Gemara is simply talking about the matzav ruach of a person, you know, what attitude, what feeling, what sense he has to have before he davens. But the Rav says there's something that goes way beyond that. The subject of the Gemara is not just how to prepare your mind or your heart for tefillah, but it has much more of a halachic significance. It's part of the structure and the license for tefillah. He quotes in the paragraph that starts Vehine, Tosus, who says that we have to reject all these attitudes of Kalas Rosh and Tzchok, and we need what's called Simcha Shel Mitzvah. Simcha Shel Mitzvah is going to be the prerequisite for Tefillah. Says Tosus, what's Simcha Shel Mitzvah? We have to learn Torah, but which Torah do we learn? He says, Psukei Dezimra, the Ashrei, Kodem HaTefillah. It's critical, says Tosfos, in order to create that preparation stage for Tefillah, to recite, in the case of Shachris, Psukei Dezimra, in the case of Mincha, Ashrei. I don't know what we're going to do in Ma'ariv, that we have to figure out. So the Rav wants to know, we're touching now on the significance of Psukei Dezimra. A lot of people think that Psukei Dezimra is something secondary. We don't have to put so much emphasis on it. But now that we open up the Tosus in Brachos Daf Lamed, we see that Tosus gives high profile here to Psukei Dezimra. It's so important that a person shouldn't stand up in davening without the Simcha Shel Mitzvah, which in this case means Psukei Dezimra. And the Rav, to try to understand what's so significant about reciting Psukei Dezimra before davening, he adds another piece to this puzzle, another question that needs elucidation. Before we recite Psukei Dezimra, we recite a bracha that's called Baruch Shamar. And at the closure of Psukei Dezimra, we add another bracha that's called Yishtabach. What's the point of adding a bracha lifneihem and lachreihem in the case of Psukei Dezimra, if the entire purpose of Psukei Dezimra is to put one into a good mood, a mood of Simcha Shel Mitzvah? Why do you need a bracha lifneihem and a bracha lachreihem? Then in the last paragraph on page Mem Vav, he quotes Rashi. Rashi says that what is Simcha Shel Mitzvah? It entails shevach, praise to Almighty God. Rashi says, Divrei Tanchumim Shel Torah. In other words, we talk about things that God did that indicate His love for the Jewish people, His concern, His providence over the Jewish people. Kigon, Samoch Legula, Legulas Mitzrayim. In other words, we daven after we recite the story we tell over the episode and praise God for redeeming us from Egypt. O Samoch Letila LeDavid, this means Ashrei. Shu Shevach V'Tanchumim. And Rashi gives an example. What does Ashrei have within it that gives us the sense of Simcha by reciting a very profound Shevach HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Kagon Ritzon Yirei of Yasa. You know, a person should pray out of a sense of confidence that God fulfills the will of those who fear Him. Shomer Hashem Eskol Oav, of God protects those who love Him. Or, he quotes in the Baruch Hashem, Li'olam Amen V'Amen, I don't know, do you all recite that? You do? Mm-hmm. Okay, I haven't said it since I'm a kid. I don't even remember it anymore. Mm-hmm. But in there it says, Ki lo yitosh Hashem es amo. And there also, we speak about the fact that God doesn't forsake the people of Israel. So we're praising God for His love to the people. That puts us in a state of simcha. Or the way that Tosa says it, we speak about the Tehillah, all the Tehillos, all the Psukei Zimra we recite. Says the Rav, and this is on page Mem Vav, if you want to count, let's say, four lines up before the end of the page, he says, Shiros V'Sishbachos is recited not just simply as a means to an end, to put us into a good mood, a Simcha Shel Mitzvah mood, which is the proper mood for Tefillah, but rather it goes beyond that. Shiros V'Sishbachos has an internal inherent significance. Be'etzem Hartzos Divrei Shevach Yeshno Kiyum Shel Matir. You remember the Rav's question that what gives us license to pray in front of Almighty God? You need a matir. And what is the matir? The recitation of songs of praise to God.
But doesn't that need a matir itself?
Probably. I would assume it does. I'm not sure what is the matir for that. So keep that question in mind, Neil. But let's just see how the Rav deals with Psukei Dezimra, which Tosus, keep in mind, Tosus identifies Psukei Dezimra with Simcha Shel Mitzvah. Ein Odim L'Spal Ela Mitok Simcha Shel Mitzvah, which means Psukei Dezimra. So the Rav sends us to a statement, a long presentation of the Rif in Masechta Brachos. You'll see this at the bottom of the page going on to the top of the next page, Mem Zayin. Dorash Rav Simloi, the Rav had quoted this earlier in this essay, that we derive from Moshe Rabbeinu, that before you ask and you petition to God for your personal requests, you have to be Mesader Shvacho Shel Mokom. Like, for example, within the Shmoneh Esrei, what are the first three brachos? Shevach. So before you ask for the Yud Gimel Emtsoyos, the Bakoshos, first you start with Shevach, with praise to Almighty God. And the Rif goes on. He quotes Rabbi Lazar in the first perek, who says that Tehillah L'David, that's Ashrei, is very, very significant. That's another kind of Shevach. And there the Shevach is not within the Shmoneh Esrei, it becomes before the Shmoneh Esrei. And then the Rif mentions Psukei Dezimra. And what is Psukei Dezimra? All those pieces of David HaMelech's Tehillim that take us up to Kol HaNeshama Talka. And not only that, says the Rif, we established, the Rabbanan established, that you recite Psukei Dezimra with a bracha before and a bracha after, a Baruch Shamar and a Yishtabach. And therefore, says the Rif, a person should be very careful not to interrupt, not to speak about anything irrelevant from the time of Baruch Sha'amar, introducing Psukei Dezimra, until after he finishes Shmoneh Esrei. In other words, the unit of tefillah, which completes itself at the end of Shmon Esrei, begins with what? With Baruch Shamar. And therefore there's no room to allow any hefsek, to tolerate any sort of interruptions. Says the Rav, you see from the Rif that the statement of Rav Simloi, that a person has to be Mesader Shvacho Shel Makom before davening, refers to Psukin Zimra. What is it about Psukin Zimra that has such great significance? And the answer is, in the context of Rav Simloi, as the Rif presents it, a person cannot daven, he cannot request, until first he's Mesader Shvacho Shel Makom. So the Shvacho Shel Makom, which the Rif identifies with Psukin Zimra, is a chalos matir that allows a person to daven. I don't know. I would assume that the Shvacho Shel Makom of Rav Simloi takes on many different forms. For example, Byron, if you see in the next paragraph, the Rav says that Rabbi Yoshua in Avodah Zarah Daf Zayin, which we studied earlier, for those of you who may remember, I'm just going to jolt your memory. If a person wants to add his own personal petitions, where does he do so? So Rabbi Yeshua says only after Shmon Esrei. So you see that Shmon Esrei itself, the Yud Ches Brachos, is a matir for She'elas Tzrachim. A person is enjoined from asking God for his own needs until after he davens. That too is included in the halacha of Li'olam Yisader Adam Shvacho Shel Makom. That since Tefillah, Shmon Esrei I mean, begins with three brachos of Shevach, therefore he can add his own personal She'elas Tzrachim after Shmon Esrei, because he's already fulfilled through the recitation of Shmon Esrei the requirement of Li'olam Yisader Adam Shvacho Shel Makom. Then, included in Li'olam Yisader Adam Shvacho Shel Makom is the matir of Sidur Shevach before Shmon Esrei. Ein Odim L'spalel El Mitov Simcha Shel Mitzvah, which, as we saw, Tosfos identifies with Psukin Zimra. We saw that the Rif identifies Psukin Zimra as part of the conglomeration of Li'olam Yisader Adam, which is a conglomerate of many different forms of Shevach, including the first three brachos of Shmon Esrei, including Psukin Zimra, including perhaps Birchas Kriyat Shema, as we'll soon see. All this is included under Shvacho Shel Makom. Says the Rav at the end of the paragraph, Shtei Halachos, and please, if you can, underline this. L'chein anu mevinu madua nitkina bracha lifneim l'achreim. Do you remember the Rav asked the question, if the purpose of Psukin Zimra is just to get you into the mood for tefillah, then why does it deserve a bracha of Baruch Shamar before and a bracha of Yishtabach afterwards? Why create this framework of brachos for Psukin Zimra? And the answer is because Psukin Zimra goes beyond just putting a person in the mood, in the mental state that's appropriate for tefillah. It's a chalos matir. It's a cube of a matir. Whenever you have a matir, then having fulfilled that requirement of a matir, you make a bracha. Now, I don't know, the Rav doesn't add any footnote here as to how he knows that when you have a kiyum shel matir, you need a bracha on that matir. Can anyone think of any examples that maybe the Rav has in mind of a bracha on a matir?
I think we talked about this before, didn't we?
I don't remember if we did. I think we did. I mean, what comes to my mind, what? Shechita, I would think. Maybe Shechita's behema is a matir, because he can't eat the animal without Shechita. And we recite a bracha on Shechita. Maybe the Rav has in mind Kiddushin. The Rambam identifies Kiddushin as a mitzvah. So that would justify a bracha. But the Rosh says that there is no mitzvah of Kiddushin. So how does the Rosh justify the bracha on Kiddushin? L'chor, it's a birchas hamatir. So there are precedents to this concept that a matir requires a bracha. If psukei dezimra is a chalos kiyum matir, the Rav says you need a bracha on the matir. Basically, what the bracha does is it gives psukei dezimra a certain structure as a unit, with a beginning, a middle, and an end. So you've got the beginning is yishtabach, the middle is the, you know, the various kapitluch of tilim that we recite, and the end. The beginning I meant to say is Baruch Shomar. What did I say? Yishtabach? I meant to say Baruch Shomar. And the end is Yishtabach. That, from a brisker perspective, gives it the status of a matir. It sort of like gives it a legal status. So again, just to summarize, the Rav says that even a tefilas chova needs a matir. What is that matir? According to Rav and Rav Yosef, in the Gemara Brachos Chavtes, the matir is chidish badavar. We don't require chidish badavar. We do require a matir. Ein omdim lispalel, liolam yisad erolam shvachu shalmakom, v'yachakach yispalel. Where do we find this implementation of shvachu shalmakom before tefillah to set up a matir? And now the Rav has a breakthrough. I want everyone to please kindly look at the paragraph on the bottom of Mem Zayin that starts with the words V'nira od Yoser. Says the Rav, there are two sets of brachos that are included in the matir. Number one is Psukei Dezimra. Number two, Amiras Kriyat Shema uBirchoseh. Now, let's take a pause for a moment. If I were to ask you to shoot from the hip, don't try to outthink me, outsmart me. What is the purpose of Birchas Kriyat Shema? To what is Birchas Kriyat Shema connected?
Kriyat Shema.
Kriyat Shema, by definition. Says the Rav, and this is a whole revolution of sorts. Yes, I admit, I grant you, that Birchas Kriyat Shema was established on Kriyat Shema, but that doesn't exhaust the kiyum, the goal and the purpose of Birchas Kriyat Shema. Birchas Kriyat Shema has an additional dimension to it. He says in fancy Hebrew, Asher Cheref, meaning in addition, Teheyosa Marechas Balas Kiyum B'fnei Atzmak Shuvah B'Kriyat Shema itself. In other words, in addition to the fact that even if I wouldn't be davening now, I'm just fulfilling my mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, I would require brachos. But above and beyond that, there's a second obligation that's engendered, that engenders Birchas Kriyat Shema, and that is tefillah itself. Mehaveh afhi, even Birchas Kriyat Shema, not just Psukei Dezimra, Chefta Shalmati.
He's inquiring from the standpoint of why is Kriyat Shema here?
Well, I think it depends how I judge your question. If I know more about Smichus Gula Tefillah than I know now, maybe your question is in place. But let's say I don't know much about Smichus Gula Tefillah. I know that you have to be Somech Gula Tefillah. So I might suggest that the reason why Kriyat Shema Birchoseh was placed before Tefillah is in order to achieve Smichus Gula Tefillah. And that's it. The Rav is adding a whole new dimension. He's saying that since Tefillah needs what? A matir, it's not sufficient to recite Psukei Dezimra with its brachos. That's a half-baked matir. We need a whole other dimension of a matir. And what activity, in addition to reciting Psukei Dezimra, sets up a matir? Birchas Kriyat Shema.
Why something about Tirim?
I would assume that the Rav wants to maximize all the introductions to Tefillah so that they form one gigantic conglomeration, some unit, and the more the merrier. But I would hold off for your question, Chaim, for just maybe 5 minutes, because I think the Rav is going to point us in a certain direction, and he's going to establish that there is a difference between the first matir, the Psukim de Zimra matir, and the second matir of Birchas Kriyat Shema. So let's see.
You really say there's a sequence coming here, like a mitzvah simcha.
All right. The only trouble is, Byron, the reason why I'm not going to introduce Kabbal Zalmach Shemaim now is because the Rav is going to use that concept later on in this essay for an entire different purpose. So right now, we're going to focus our energies on Matir. Okay? And we're going to see if we can understand, in answering Chaim's question, what are these two modes or methods of Matir? Number one, Psukei de Zimra, and number two, Birchas Kriyat Shema.
I do
want to
drink,
it
sounds a little dry.
Yeah, I wouldn't object. He says that Birchas Kriyat Shema is also Sidur Shvacho Shel Makom. You see, there's something very, very revolutionary here. I would have said that Birchas Kriyat Shema and the contents and the substance and all that's included therein should be related to Kriyat Shema, or as Byron said, to Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. But the Rav claims that a careful analysis of Birchas Kriyat Shema will reveal that there are elements of Shvacho Shel Makom in Birchas Kriyat Shema. Okay, so let's see if the Rav can pinpoint within the context of Birchas Kriyat Shema elements of Shvacho Shel Makom. But right now the Rav summarizes his presentation. He says that Shevach fulfills or expresses itself in two different methods, or two different modes. One is Psukei de Zimra, and here we're using Kisvei HaKodesh, meaning Tehillim. Number two, Hodah, words that were formulated, obviously, by Anshei Knesset HaGdola, that express the praise of God. And those words of praise are sandwiched by a bracha at the beginning and a bracha at the end. So there's a framework of Shevach V'Hodaya in a mizgeret of bracha. And those brachos will have to somehow comply with all the rules and regulations of brachos. So let's make a bracha on that. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiyah Bidvaro. Now I have to tell you that from the words Lamito Shel Dovar, which is smack in the middle of this paragraph on the bottom of Mem Zayin, and all the way until the end of the second of this major paragraph on Mem Ches, leading up to the second paragraph on Mem Ches, I think that this whole section here is what I would call a Maimar Amuzgar, almost a self-enclosed unit. I would not call it a total digression from the topic at hand, but to some extent, I thought it could have been in a footnote. It's not directly, I don't think, relevant to the Rav's point. I think the Rav's presentation could have survived omitting this entire section. I don't know. But let's be open-minded about it, and you'll tell me if I'm wrong. Because Lamito Shel Dovar, at this point, the Rav goes into an entire analysis of what's called Shira B'Migdash. Do we have any singers here in the group?
Sammy, I knew a Levi.
Who's a Levi?
Levi.
No Levian?
Sammy sings that.
All right, but we need a Levi. All right?
With a coin.
The Rav was a Levi. You know that. Anyone with the name Soloveitchik is a Levi. What do you know what Soloveitchik means? Soloveitchik is a nightingale. Okay, that's the bird that's known for its singing. So the family of Soloveitchiks are all Levim. They were called by that name because of their... I never heard the Rav sing. I would be surprised if he... but anyway, so the Rav now goes into a whole digression here about the mitzvah incumbent upon the Levim to sing in the Beis HaMikdash. And at what point in the Beis HaMikdash service did they sing? When the Karbanos were brought, correct? And specifically at the time of the wine libations, of the Nisuch HaYayin. Now, the Rav says that Shira in Mikdash, the mitzvah Levim, was fulfilled with bracha. In other words, the concept of bracha as we know it in halacha, you know, reciting a bracha, whether it's a birchas hanenim, a birchas hamitzvah, a birchas hashevach, all the different categories of mitzvah, that concept of bracha, perhaps in its original form, I don't know, was implemented by the Levim in their fulfillment of the mitzvah shira. So the Rav now is generating the following equation. Bracha equals shira, or shira equals bracha, either way. And that's very important to the Rav, because he wants to identify Birchas Kriyat Shema as Shira. And that Shira, which means a song of praise to Almighty God, is going to be the Matir for Tefillah. He quotes Psukim in Sefer Ezra, Ezra Nehemiah, to prove that the Levim actually recited Brachos. That Shira was not just song as we know it, but it was bracha. So we're not going to spend too much time reading through these long and complicated psukim. A lot of these psukim just mention names of Levim. But what you should emphasize is you see towards the end, it says, Kumu birchu es Hashem Elokeichem. You have that? Like one line up from the bottom? Now if you take a look on the next page, the Gemara in Sota derives from this pasuk, Kumu birchu es Hashem Elokeichem, because the end of the pasuk is min ha'olam ad olam v'yavarchu shem kvodecha Umarumam al kol brachu tila, Tana Rabbanan. The Gemara derives in a brisa that there's a special halacha in Beis HaMikdash that instead of responding amen to a bracha, you respond with Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso Liolam Voet. That's a sugi in Sota. And that halacha is derived from this parsha in Nehemiah, which describes the response of the people to the Shiras HaLevim. So, Kumu Birchu Hashem Elokeichem means that within the framework of Shiras HaLevim, the Levim would recite brachos, and the tzibur of Klal Yisrael, those who heard those brachos, would respond to those brachos by declaring Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Olam Voet. So the Rav says, what underlies this whole halacha, and this I underlined here on the sixth line, Ki bracha hi chefza shel shira. So the Rav identifies bracha with shira, Because again, the mitzvah of the Levium was Shira, and yet they fulfilled that mitzvah through Bracha. And that Shira generates an obligation on the part of those who heard the Shira to respond, Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus HaOlam Vaed. And the Rav says it's absolutely fundamental and elementary to assume the equation, the identity between Bracha and Shira, because since the Psukim indicate that the Levium recited a Bracha, if that Bracha was not a Kiyum Shira, then why would the Levium be reciting Brachos? I mean, the mitzvah of the Levium is to recite Shira. Apparently, if they were reciting Brachos, it must be because a Bracha equals Shira. Therefore, says the Rav, even outside of the Beis HaMikdash, the halachic kiyum or chalos of a bracha is shira. And here the Rav adduces a very strange, in my mind, very strange proof that bracha equals shira. And that's from the halacha of Sidur Bracha Alakos. As you all know, on many occasions, we recite a bracha over a cup of wine. Who can think of a couple of examples of that?
Kiddush.
Kiddush, excellent. What else?
Bris.
Havdalah.
A bris, Havdalah. You see, Havdalah is a little bit complicated. I'll tell you why.
You're not drinking
that. Is there anyone here who recites, or on some occasions recites Havdalah over what's called Chamra de Medina?
Orange juice.
Maybe orange juice. Beer. Not concentrated orange juice, though.
Tropicana, it should be, like
yeah, Tropicana. It should be natural orange juice. I don't know how you make Tropicana. I have a feeling it's that Tropicana juice is made from concentrated. Okay, let's not get into this. I'll get sued by Tropicana. But if you would squeeze an orange, I think you could probably make Havdalah over orange juice. Some make Havdalah over beer. And some even over whiskey. That's pushing the envelope. But my point is that there's a concept of kos shel bracha, and that concept itself subdivides into yayin versus chamar medina. Chamar medina obviously is more encompassing than yayin. For example, kiddush on Friday night requires yayin. Havdalah Motzi Shabbos requires Chamar de Medina. For some reason, the Rav, if you'll take a look here inside, he makes a whole cholent out of this. I don't know why. I would have been very careful here in differentiating between Kiddush on the one hand and Havdalah on the other hand. I mean, if the Rav is trying to prove that Brach equals Shira, Shira is only on Yayin. I mean, in the Beis HaMikdash, when the Levium recited Shira, it was over Nisuch Hayayin. It wasn't Nisuch of Chamar Medina. Maybe the Rav understands that Chamar Medina somehow substitutes for Yayin and generates a Kiyum Shira. I don't know. I'm just commenting on one line in this essay, which is not a critical line. I don't want you to walk out of here thinking that the whole Shtickle Torah here, either stands or falls based on that one issue. But I don't know how the Rav here is dealing with Chamar Medina. But be that as it may, this concept of Seder Bracha al Akos. And the reason why we organize a Bracha on Akos is in order to recite Shira. One could ostensibly argue that all four cups of wine, the Dalit Kosos of Leil HaPesach, are all Shira. Perhaps Shira for Yitzias Mitzrayim. So the Rav therefore quotes this as a proof that bracha equals shira. So that birchas kriyat shema, in addition to being related to the kriyat shema itself, have their own independent life, a life of their own, as a fulfillment of shira. Now, why shira at this particular juncture? And the answer is because it is a matir. A matir for tefillah. Before we stand up in Davin, we recite Shirah. So let's get back on track here. In the middle of page Mem Ches, the paragraph that starts Ubechein, the Rav says that in fact we have two distinct types of Shira, both of which precede Shmon Esrei. One is Psukei Dezimra. There, we're utilizing the songs of David HaMelech in order to fulfill Shira. So we're, in a sense, we are parroting David HaMelech, who is the great singer of Israel. And number two, Bracha, meaning Birchas Kriyat Shema, which is a kiyum of Shira. However, these two forms of Shira integrate into one unit of Shira for the Almighty Creator, because we cannot stand in front of Almighty God in Tefillah without first beginning with Shira. That's the Matir. The Rav says that the first part of Shevach to God is surrounded by a bracha before and a bracha after, and we explicitly mention David HaMelech, B'shirei David Avdecha, and that indicates that David recited Shira, he composed the Shira, we are reciting the same Shira that David composed. The Rav says we find something parallel in Nishmas. Then we move on to the second expression of Shira, Birchas Kriyat Shema. And the Rav says that Birchas Kriyat Shema is Shira to the Borei Olam. Excuse me, I apologize. And the Rav now adds the following. This also, I think, is almost a separate section that begins towards the end of the paragraph Uvechein and takes us all the way to the end of the first part of Memtes Amud Aleph, the first paragraph. Did you ever stop and think, why do we recite Kiddusha in the middle of Birchas Kriyat Shema? Did that question ever cross your mind? It seems a little bit out of place. We're familiar with Kiddusha within the framework of Shmon Esrei. Why is there a Kiddusha in the framework of Birchas Kriyat Shema?
So we're quoting the angels at that point. They were going to be in the Kaddish Shem Shema.
But the question is why? Meaning, why is it that Kriyat Shema, Birchas Kriyat Shema would be an appropriate place to imitate the angels and recite Kiddusha? Says the Rav, Kiddusha is perhaps the greatest, the loftiest expression of Shira, which, as you say, Chaim, very well, we derive and imitate the Malachim. If Birchas Kriyat Shema were to exhaust themselves and their purpose in Kriyat Shema itself, this would not be an appropriate place for Kedusha. But granted that there's another element, another function of Birchas Kriyat Shema, namely Shira, then the greatest expression of Shira and fulfillment of Shira, as we saw via Varchu Shein Kvodcha, that is fulfilled through the recitation of Kedusha. And he builds on Rashi at the end of Masechta Megillah about the halach of Parson al Hashma. What is Parson al Hashma? You've all seen it, where somebody gets up and he recites Baruch Hu, he recites a Chatzi, you know, the first half of, he recites a Chatzi Kaddish and a Baruch Hu, or the first half of Shmon Esrei until Kedusha. That's called, in the language of the Mishnah, Parson al Shema, and it requires a minyan, like any Dovrish of a Kedusha. So the Ran, over there in Megillah, quotes Rashi, What's the purpose? What's the scenario which justifies parsing al Shema? There were 10 people, each of whom had davened b'yichidus. So they didn't hear neither Kaddish, nor Kedusha, nor Barchu. So one of them gets up as a Shliach Tzibur, recites Kaddish, Barchu, begins with Yotzer Ar, and finishes with the Kedusha following Mechaya Mason. So the Rav says, I don't get it. If each one of these 10 people has already recited Birchas Kriyat Shema, why should he recite Birchas Kriyat Shema a second time? Do you hear the question? Let me review the question. The Ran says that parsing al Shema is necessitated by a case in which 10 people had davened b'yichidus. Fine, they didn't hear Kaddish, they didn't hear Baruch Hu, they didn't hear Kedusha. But why are they reciting Birchas Kriyat Shema if they've already recited Birchas Kriyat Shema? So if you take a look on Daf Mem Tes, he says, Kanir'eh, we have to derive from this Rashi, that the Kiyum of Yotzer Or, which has Kedusha in it, is not exhausted by Birchas Kriyat Shema. You already recited it privately as Birchas Kriyat Shema. But rather there's a new status of Shira and Kedusha, which is achieved through the recitation of Birchas Kriyat Shema, in this case Yotzer Or. So what happens? The Shliach Tzibur invites these 10 people through Baruch Hu to be Mekayim, the mitzvah of Amiras Shira. Right? Baruch Hu es Hashem Amvorach. What does it mean? Come, let us recite Shira. Again, we may have fulfilled that mitzvah as private citizens, as individuals, but now we want to enhance that kiyum by joining together as a tzibur, as we always do. You know, so you recite Birchas Kriyat Shema, and then you recite Shmon Esrei, but there's Baruch Hu that said B'tzibur, and there's Kedusha that said B'tzibur. All these elements have an extra dimension to them when you fulfill them B'tzibur. And Birchas Kriyat Shema is part and parcel of this fulfillment of Kedusha. Like, I was always wondering, sometimes I daven a little faster here. I start a little earlier and daven faster because I know in this minyan I'll never be able to be there for, you know, be on time for Kedusha if I daven at the same pace. So I sort of take a jump ahead. And very often it occurred to my mind, maybe I'm doing the wrong thing. Because if I jump ahead in order to start Shmon Esrei earlier, then I forfeit the Kedusha of Yotzer HaMaoros with the Tzibur. And now I see that maybe in fact I am doing something wrong. Because the Rav is presenting the fact that Birchas Kriyat Shema is not just a bracha on Kriyat Shema. It's a Shira. And insofar as it's Shira, it becomes part of the entire unit that begins when the Shliach Tzibur invites the Tzibur with Baruch Hu to recite Shira as a Tzibur. So if I'm already holding in Kriyat Shema, when the rest of the Tzibur is reciting Kadosh, 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 then I've lost that extra dimension of Shiras HaTzibur through Kedusha of Yotzer HaMaoros.
Goes the other way as well, you would think.
What do you mean the other way? I'm not sure if I follow you.
Fall behind.
Yeah. But you're in a pickle over here because you don't have that much time between Birchas Yotzer HaMaoros and Kedushin Chazaras HaShatz. So let's say you start earlier so that you synchronize your Kiddush of Yotzer HaMaoros with the Tzibur, but then you're going to fall behind. So I don't know, you know, you have to start weighing which is more important. Maybe Kedushin Chazaras HaShatz is greater in significance than Kedusha in Yotzar Maoros. I don't know. You know, that has to be studied. But the Rav has concluded, based on the evidence from Rashi and Megillah, that Birchas Kriyat Shema, in addition to being a bracha related to Kriyat Shema, is a Kiyum Shira and Kedusha. And that's why in Parson Al Shema, we're going to have the entire Tzibur recite Birchas Kriyat Shema second time around. You know, that's a very strange thing. You've already recited Birchas Kriyat Shema, but the answer is, for the sake of that Kiyum Shira B'Tzibur, you're going to recite Shira and Birchas Kriyat Shema a second time. Therefore, says the Rav at the end of this paragraph on top of Mentes, Tamid, as a general rule, universally, when we recite Kriyat Shema with its brachos, we fulfill two distinct mitzvahs. On the one hand, Kriyat Shema and its brachos, and that's the brachos insofar as it relates to Kriyat Shema. And number two, a separate independent kiyum of Shira, which in this latter kiyum, the Rav identifies with a chalos matir that allows me to recite Shmona Esrei. And therefore it makes absolute sense that, as we saw before, that you shouldn't be mafsik from Yishtabach, I'm sorry, from Baruch Shamar until after Shmona Esrei, because we want to integrate the two kiyumim of Shira, one kiyum of Shira through the Tehillim of David HaMelech, the other kiyum Shira through the Hodaya to the Borei Olam about for all his creations, for his love for the people of Israel, and we imitate the Malachim in reciting Kedusha. These two kiyume or forms of Shira form an entity of a matir for tefillah. Now, Chaim, getting back to your question, again, the more the merrier. If I have a matir of Shira in a partial way, and I haven't maximized it, then I'm lacking in my matir of Shira. So if the way to create this matir is through Kiyum Shira, let's be Mekayim the mitzvah of Shira in its full-blown, in its maximum way. Let's first imitate David HaMelech in his Shira. Number two, right, just as the Levim did in the Beis HaMikdash. Number two, let's recite Shira on all of God's creations and all the things that He gave us and the Torah that He gave us and the love that He has for the people. HaBocher B'Amo Yisrael B'Ava. This is all part of the Shira. And number three, we're going to inject into Birchas Kriyat Shema the Kiyum Shira of Kedusha, which is perhaps the highest level of Shira that we could possibly achieve. It's the Shira on high of the Malach HaShareis. So let's not be limited or stingy in our ability to recite Shira and fulfill this mitzvah in its maximum way. Then, and only then, are we ready for Shmon Esrei. Again, you'll ask me the question, but in Mincha, it's very austere, it's very stingy, it's really whittled down. You know, you created this whole sophisticated, full-blown Shira with all its color and pomp and ceremony, with all the detailed Shira, but it only applies to Shachris. All right, maybe it applies to some extent to Meiriv, because in Meiriv, we have Baruch Hu, and then we have Birchas Kriyat Shema Lefanea, and Birchas Kriyat Shema Lachrea. We don't have Pesukei Zimra. So if you go from Shachris down to Meiriv, you know, you're already cutting it down halfway. And then when you get to Mincha, Ribbono Shel Olam, what are you left with? You're left with Ashrei.
Because it's a Tircha.
Again, I'm not here to justify, you know, what the Chachamim were thinking. You know, I told you, take a break from Mincha. I told you that. But it just appears to my mind to be very odd. Maybe we should see Mincha as a continuation of Shacharis. Meaning the day for Tefillah and the Chiyuv Tefillah starts with daybreak. And Meiriv is already a Rishus. So we've got Shacharis and Mincha forming the Kishkas, the entity of Tefillah. Maybe somehow we connect, you know, we connect them together again with Mafsik, you know, with 50 million afsekos, but somehow the, you know, the Shira and then all the materium that we implemented in Shachar somehow gives us for the entire day a certain status of mispalalim, you know. Like I always thought, you know, why do we daven three times a day? The number three in Allah is always a chazaka. You know, really we should be davening continuously. Right? How does the pasuk say, is there a Rambam here? It's odd that I should ask for a Rambam when I want to find a pasuk, you know. But if you have a Rambam Sefer Ava here, so it says the end of the pasuk I remember is Kol Hayom Yisichasi, right? What's the first part of the pasuk?
Psalm.
Oh, Ma Havti Sarsecha. Kol Hayom Yisichasi. Is that how the Rambam? Yeah, look at that. Ma Havti Sarsecha. Kol Hayom Yisichasi. Right, it says Halach of Kol Hayom Yisichasi. Now, why does the Rambam have this here? If it's Halach and Talmud Torah belongs to Sefer Mada, this is the introduction to Sefer Ava, which includes Kriyat Shema, which includes Tefillah. So I think the Rav once said that Kol Hayom Yisichasi means that basically we should be involved in Tefillah Kol Hayom, but that's impossible. So how do we achieve a continuous Tefillah? By davening three times a day. The Rav was even of the opinion that women should daven three times a day, which was the shita of the Shagas Aryeh. It was not a very popular shita, but the Rav ascribed to that shita. So Kol Hayom Sichasi means my whole life is dedicated to tefillah. Ein sicha la tefillah. Ve'yetze Yitzchak l'suach basada ein sicha la tefillah. In the next paragraph, the Rav quotes another proof to establish that Birchas Kriyat Shema serve as a separate independent kiyum as a matir. Because what happens, let's say Zman Kriyat Shema ends at 10 a.m. Can I still recite Birchas Kriyat Shema if I daven after 7? Excuse me, after 9? Let's say the Sof Zman Tefillah is 10. What do I do between 9 and 10? I do recite Birchas Kriyat Shema. So the question is why? It's already after Zman Kriyat Shema. If the whole purpose of Birchas Kriyat Shema exhausts itself in a bracha on Kriyat Shema, it's no longer Zman Kriyat Shema, over Zmana. So why do we recite Kriyat Shema with its brachos after Zman Kriyat Shema? The answer is because it's a matir for tefillah. It comes out according to the Rav that after Zman tefillah, you would not be able to recite Kriyat Shema in Birchoseh, but that's, I think, how we pass in the Shulchan Aruch. In the next paragraph, and with this we'll try to wrap it up for the night, I'm just trying to push in as much as I can tonight, so that I can finish this essay, B'li Neder, next Thursday night. He says that these two premises, number one, that Psukei Zimra is a matir, and number two, that Psukei Zimra integrate into Kriyat Shema, into Birchas Kriyat Shema as a kiyum of matir. These premises are, how should I say, are predicated on three strong, he calls them ironclad proofs. Proof number one, that goes by Manius on the Rambam, Perek Zayin Hilchos Tefillah Halacha Sif Nun, says that if one came late to shul, he should still say some part of Psukei Zimra. If he skips Psukei Zimra entirely, then he won't be able to be Mekayim the takon of Psukei Zimra after tefillah. And that's how the Mechaber paskins in Shulchan Aruch. Now, even those who allow you to recite Psukei Zimra after tefillah will agree that you drop the bracha of Baruch Shomar and Yishtabach. What do we gain from this? What do we derive from this? that Psuke de Zimra was established before Tefillah and only before Tefillah. If Psuke de Zimra were independent of Tefillah and did not serve as a matir, then why would one not fulfill that takana of Psuke de Zimra even after Tefillah? For example, Hallel, the Mishnah establishes in Megillah Daf Chav, can be recited the entire day. Why shouldn't Psuke de Zimra be recited the entire day? No. Once you daven Shmona Esrei, it's too late. The answer is because the function of Psuke de Zimra is a matir. And therefore it doesn't make sense to institute or implement a matir after you've already davened. My dahava hava, it's too late. Proof number two. The Gemara in Shabbos, in the name of Rabbi Yossi, says that I would want to be included in that group of people who are considered Gomrei Hallel B'chol Yom. They recite Hallel every day. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean? You can't say Hallel every day. So the answer is, he was referring to Psuke de Zimra. So it's very fascinating that the Gemara calls Psuke de Zimra by the name Hallel. So if so, if it's a mitzvah of Hallel, we should recite Asher Kedshanu Mitzvot Tzivanu Likros Sa Hallel. Why isn't there a bracha? Why isn't the same bracha on Hallel Mitzri? Why wasn't it instituted for Psuke de Zimra? Says the Rav Pok Chazi, go out and see that there was a bracha established before Hallel Mitzri and after Hallel Mitzri. Hare Chazal Echshivum Ve'elum L'Dargas Bracha Mkei Madu'alo Echnisim Brachas HaBirchas HaMitzvah. Why didn't Chazal institute a Birchas HaMitzvah on Psuke de Zimra? The answer is because Psuke de Zimra is not an independent mitzvah. Psuke de Zimra is an introduction to what? To Tefillah. It's a matir. We're not going to make a Birchas HaMitzvah on something which is being implemented, is being fulfilled as an introduction to something else. Ein mevarchim birchas hamitzvah elim yesh ba'asiyo kiyum miyuchad. If you have a kiyum that's independent, for example, Hallel. Hallel mitzvah can be recited with or without tefillah. I can fulfill the mitzvah of Hallel even if I don't daven. Therefore, it deserves a birchas hamitzvah. But if the action, in this case, Psuke de Zimra, the recitation, is only justified by the goal of setting up another pu'ula, something else, namely tefillah, then it doesn't deserve a Birchas HaMitzvah. And proof number three is from a different statement that goes Maimonios, who says that you're not allowed to be mafsik, you're not allowed to interrupt after Yishtabach, before Yotzer Or. Now, if Psuke de Zimra was a kiyum of Shiros V'Tishbachos, without any sort of connection or integration into Birchas Kriyat Shema, then why is it also to be mafsik between Yishtabach and Birchas Kriyat Shema?
Then why do we stick in the Chatzi Kaddish? Isn't that to show it's like a separate part? Sort of. Baruch Hu should be before Baruch Shalomar.
I think, Neil, your question really is connected to Chaim's question before. That in this halacha, in this context of a matir, there are two different forms of shira. There's shira through Shirei David Avdecha, and there's shira through Birchas Kriyat Shema. Maybe I can even strengthen that by suggesting that Birchas Kriyat Shema has a life of its own, and therefore, it requires a Kaddish. And now I'm thinking of a third answer to your question. Maybe the Kaddish is part of the invitation of the Tzibur, because Kaddish is Ein Dovar Shebekedusha Pachos Me'Asara, there's no Kaddish without a Tzibur. And since there's a Kiyum of Baruch Hu, and that Kiyum is followed by the Kedusha of Yotzer Ma'oros, and finally by Shmon Esrei B'Tzibur, the entire process of inviting the Tzibur. In fact, in the Rambam, when does the Shliach Tzibur actually Yored Lefnei HaTeva?
for the Kaddish.
Right? Only for that Kaddish. You know, our minog of having a chazan, so to speak, or a shatz up there for Psuki de Zimra, I don't even know what the origin of that minog is. That's not really the way it was done, or has to be done. I mean, now we have such a custom. The answer is because Psuki de Zimra, as a Kiyum Shira, is a private Kiyum Shira. It's not a public Kiyum Shira. It's not a Kiyum Tzibur. So maybe the Kaddish is the kickoff of this whole section, this whole sequence of a Kiyum Tzibur. That might be an answer to your question. So before I let you go, I just want to show you where we're up to now. You see the paragraph that starts, V'nira. The Rav is now ready to come back full swing to the main theme of this essay, of the Shia, namely, Smichus Gula Tefillah. And the Rav is going to now, in the light of everything that we've said, and everything that we've established about Tefillah requiring a Matir, he's now going to embark upon the following project, to prove, to demonstrate, that Smichus Gula Tefillah is part of this Kiyum of Sipur, of Sidur, Shiros v'sishbachos before tefillah. In other words, geula should not be interpreted in a very narrow way to refer to the exodus, the redemption from Egypt, but rather the word geula refers to shevach. As we saw before, Rashi says that one of the ways we prepare ourselves for tefillah is through remembering or mentioning the Geula of Mitzrayim. So, we're going to see, in Mirtz Hashem, that Smichus Geula Tefillah is part of this process of being a Matir, and it links up the Birchas Kriyat Shema, which is called Geula, with Tefillah, with Shmon Esrei. And that linkage, which is called Smichus Geula Tefillah, is to be understood essentially as the matir of Amiras Shiras v'stishbachos before tefillah. Li'olam yisadur odom shvacho shal makom v'acharkach yispal.